Looking for a resource written for young people that explains the Mormon religion from a biblical worldview? Mormonism 101 for Teens by Mormonism Research Ministries' Eric Johnson addresses basic LDS doctrine while answering important questions such as, is it okay to date my Mormon friend? This book will help you better understand what can otherwise be a complicated religion. Mormonism 101 for Teens, available at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City or purchase online at mrm.org.
Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We're going to begin looking at an article that was posted on the Religion News Service. It's an article written by Jana Reese. If you've listened to this show for any amount of time, you know that we have often critiqued many of the things that Jana Reese has written. I don't know, Eric. Sometimes Jana Reese surprises me. Sometimes she disappoints me. I get the impression from this article that we're going to read, which is Three Reasons Mormons Don't Know What to Do with the Apostle Paul. I've got to admit to you, when I first started reading this article, I was kind of looking forward to seeing where she was going to go with this, because some of the things that she said, I'm going, wow, this is good. But then at the end was this huge letdown. Well, how does Jana Reese start off this piece?
Buckle up, saints. We're about to spend the next few months with the Apostle Paul.
Let me stop you there. I can't even get through one sentence without having to say something about this. Buckle up, saints. We're about to spend the next few months with the Apostle Paul. Now, if you were to tell me we're going to spend the next few months with the Apostle Paul, I'd be excited. I don't know why she has to say buckle up. I don't really even know what she means by that. But I do know this. I do teach in our youth group at my church. I have 8th and 9th graders in my group, and I love teaching these young guys about the gospel. And recently, we started going through the book of Romans. I was pumped when that started, and I am still pumped to this day. And we are going through that, but even I feel like there's just not enough time to get into the book of Romans. I don't have enough time. I've spent times of my devotionals, like an hour on just a few verses. And yet we learn as we look into how much time the Mormon church is going to actually spend in the next few months with the Apostle Paul, very little time is spent on the book of Romans. Now, when you look at the curriculum, it looks like 2 weeks worth of classes? No, it's only 2 classes that they are going to spend. And those classes are only 50 minutes to begin with. So by the time you get everybody in the class settled down and they go through talking about what they read during the week, because remember, Mormons cut back the amount of time that they have for their Sunday services from 3 hours to 2 hours. One of these hours, quote unquote, which is really 50 minutes because there's a 10-minute transition time between the first part of their service, is going to be devoted through going through the Apostle Paul. Well, as you and I looked at the schedule, it's really not all that much.
No.
Now, how many evangelicals could honestly say you're going to get a lot out of, let's say, the book of Romans in 2 50-minute classes?
I took a seminary class way back many years ago at Bethel Seminary, San Diego, with Dr. Walter Wessel, and it was a class on Romans, 10 weeks, 3-hour classes, 30 hours total, and I'll never forget the first week. He said, this one class is not going to be enough time for us to cover everything in depth because this is 16 chapters. Well, how are you going to be able to do this in 2 weeks, covering Romans 1 through 6 the first week, and then Romans 7 through 16 the second? It's impossible.
And remember, folks, the members of the LDS Church now are given the responsibility to read their curriculum, to read these chapters out of these epistles before they come to class. Let me ask you, how many do you really think are going to do that? And if they do that, Are they going to breeze through it just to say they did it, or are they really going to take the time necessary to fully understand what Paul is trying to get across in this most incredible epistle that he wrote, the book of Romans?
And you're not going to be able to understand it just by reading through it one time.
Oh, no.
It's going to take a lot more. And that's where you have commentaries that are open, and you're checking out the different references and looking at what Paul said in other places. So Romans, very deep book. So buckle up, she says. Then she continues, the curriculum of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has its members around the world devoting August, September, and October 2019 to studying portions of the letters of Christianity's most indefatigable early missionaries. It's gratifying to see so much attention paid to Paul, because the old gospel doctrine manual breezed through the epistles much too quickly. One day, just one day on Romans, she writes in a parenthetical statement.
But yet we learn that they're only going to spend one day, really, in class, studying the book of Galatians. One day.
Or Ephesians.
Or
Ephesians and Colossians. I mean, these are small five-chapter books, and so they're going through them very quickly.
Now, why should that fact intrigue us? Here's why. Many times when I've talked with Latter-day Saints, and I try to question them about what they learn regarding the New Testament, they always want to give you the impression, well, we don't ignore the New Testament. It's part of our curriculum. We go through these books in the New Testament. But how do they really go through those books? I think you, Eric, and I would certainly say that one class for the Book of Galatians is not nearly enough. But they would argue, yeah, but we're supposed to read it before we come to class. And I would, again, put out before you, how many members of the church are really going to do that, at least seriously do that, looking very, very closely at what's written in those chapters.
And it might be a different story if the sermons were being used to expound on the passages, like many of our Christian churches do today. They go verse by verse and they exegete each of the verses and try to help us understand what is being said. I'm going to say probably most wards are not talking about any of the New Testament books through their own talks.
Well, she brings that out in the very next paragraph. She shows that that's not what they're going to be doing.
But just like the old manual, the new curriculum is far more focused on the practical Christian living aspect of the New Testament than it is on actual history or theology.
Now, that's telling, because I think in most of our classes, when it comes to doing a Bible study, we want a well-rounded examination of what's being said. It's not that we're going to ignore the practical Christian living aspects of what Paul says, but we do want to know the history, the theology, because that's very important if we are going to properly understand what the Apostle Paul is trying to get across to the church. That last paragraph in the first section, what does she say?
In part, that's just what church curriculum does, in an effort to keep things simple and applicable to daily life. But I believe there are particular reasons why the Pauline section is even more historically acontextual, or even downright anti-contextual, than the program's other sections on the New Testament. And that's because Mormons still don't quite know what to do with that irascible outsider, Paul.
Now, that's an interesting statement. And here, I give her kudos for being so honest, because I've sensed that when I talk to many Latter-day Saints, when I'm bringing up the writings of Paul. You bring up, for instance, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. A lot of Mormons, almost it's as if they roll their eyes, like, oh, well, that's not even important, because we have James 2, 20, faith without works is dead, as if somehow Paul was contradicting what James was saying, even though in Ephesians 2, 10, Paul very clearly says that we're created unto good works, but he's making it clear that it's not the works that has anything to do with the forgiveness of sins. But when she says here, that's what church curriculum does in an effort to keep things simple and applicable to daily life. It's all about application. And folks, there's nothing wrong with application. Although I find many times when a good teacher is going through a book in the Bible and they're finishing up their lesson, they'll go through all the theology, they'll go through all the history behind what's being written in this text, and they usually end it up with, well, how do we apply this? Then comes the application. So we're not saying that looking at the application of these verses is bad. It's just not the only thing. And she's even admitting here that they are going to keep in practice of bringing out the simple and applicable things that have to do with daily life.
But Bill, if you are not making proper exegesis, which means a proper interpretation of what the scripture is actually saying, then you're doomed to have poor application no matter how you twist it. And I'm going to suggest, as we're going to go through this article here, that many Latter-day Saints are not able to understand what Paul is saying because they're not understanding the theology, the doctrine that he's teaching. And so they're making a bad application by thinking that somehow their works are necessary for them to receive the grace that God has offered for free.
It goes back to what we've often said. Theology matters. Theology is very important. And I know even for some professing Christians, they tend to also want to roll their eyes when it comes to theology. And I would say shame on you, because there's a reason why the theology is included in our New Testament. There's a reason why God wanted that to be there, if you really believe that it's God-breathed to begin with, which I hope if you're a Christian, you would. But certainly we look at the theology portion of what's in the epistles, what's in the Gospels, as being essential, as you said, for our proper understanding of what God wants for us as his people.
Paul in 1 Corinthians 3:2 talked about how he gave milk and not solid food and criticized those who were not ready for some of the deeper principles. And also the author of Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 says, you ought to be teachers, but you're still drinking the milk. And I think that's what we need to do. We need to understand. Paul can get very deep, of course, but we need to understand that if we hope to make a proper interpretation of what he's saying and apply it to our lives.
I would think that perhaps some Latter-day Saints might have been a little bit offended by her expression when she says, in an effort to keep things simple and applicable to daily life. Wow. I would kind of hope that if someone was to attend my church, that they wouldn't leave after hearing the message or attending a class there, that, wow, that was pretty shallow. I would hope that they would be overwhelmed by the depth and the richness of what that particular verse is bringing out, or verses are bringing out. But apparently, Jana Rees seems to understand they're not going to get all that deep. And again, much of the responsibility of understanding the chapter to begin with depends on whether or not the individual member is going to do their homework during the week in order to come to that 50-minute class on Sunday to discuss what they learned. And remember, part of that class involves the class participation of explaining what they read and what they thought they understood. So there's not going to be a lot of instruction to begin with because there's just not that much time in a 50-minute class.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Did you know that this year marks the 40th anniversary of Mormonism Research Ministry? All of us at MRM want to thank those of you who have faithfully supported our efforts to educate the body of Christ about the differences between Mormonism and Christianity, as well as sharing God's grace with the Mormon people. If you would like to give a special anniversary gift to further our efforts here at MRM, simply click the donate button on our homepage at mrm.org. Your support, as always, is greatly appreciated.